Hello, everyone. My name is Ryan, and welcome to High Tech on Life. It's Friday. Yeah. Today is Friday. One of the best days, if not the best day of the week, because the weekend is upon us. And who doesn't love the weekend, right? Who doesn't love the weekend? Well, like normal people like the weekend. Normal people have a weekend. I, however, am not a normal person. Up until like 8 or 9 months ago, I didn't know what a weekend was. That's when most of my work got done. Only recently have I actually had the chance to take like a weekend off. Like I only have to work Monday through Friday. That's it. But like things happen on Saturday. Things happen on Sunday. What? I don't have to work those? Sweet. That is awesome. I'm sure there are a lot of you out there who don't get weekends like I used to not get. And it does suck, but you get used to it, right? Now I am an audio engineer, and I was doing freelance work, which means I just took whatever job I could get, worked for whoever I could, and I worked pretty much every weekend. No matter what, I was working that weekend because I had to support my family. That was the only way to do it. Fridays. Anyways, it's Friday. Woohoo. Good for us all. So I was looking through Twitter and some other, you know, social media sites and found a couple stories I wanted to go over this week. And one of the first ones I saw was that Jawbone is shutting down. Do you guys remember Jawbone? I had one. I had like the first Bluetooth headset that they designed. It was pretty cool. I thought it worked really well. It was very comfortable. But they are going out of business. Apple Insider and a couple of other people reported that they were, you know, they've had some financial issues for quite a few years now. After their big break with the Bluetooth headsets, they've been going in to the health market. And they kind of went through a few different incarnations. Like they were the Bluetooth headset company, and then they went to like Bluetooth speakers, and then they went to like the wearables and the fashion, or not fashion, the fitness trackers. And it looks like they're gonna kind of stick with the health thing, which is really unfortunate because I thought their original Bluetooth headset was amazing. I thought it was awesome. If it worked with any phone I had, it fit really well. They had the different pieces that you can use in your ear, and it sounded pretty good. Now, I can't remember all the technology that went into it, but I remember listening to a few different samples of people who would do a phone call on their iPhone, and it sounded pretty clear, and that's what I needed. And it had the noise cancellation, so you know your calls came out clear. I commute like anywhere from a half hour to an hour, really, both ways, depending on traffic. And that was a huge thing, is that I needed something that would block out the road noise. When I was talking to my wife, who was my girlfriend at that time. So I have a really kind of a soft spot for Jawbone, and it's unfortunate that they had to go under. But I guess they're going to continue doing their fitness trackers and work on those. So hopefully that works out for them. I don't know if it will. There's such intense competition from, I mean, how many different companies out there are making fitness trackers? What's the ones that come off the top of your head? The Apple Watch, Fitbit, Garmin, Samsung, the Gear S2, Gear S3, the Gear Fit 2, is that what it was? Yeah, those things. There are so many people who make fitness trackers. I don't know if that's going to really... They got to come up with some pretty crazy killer technology and innovation to make that work. I think with everybody going down. Now, another story that kind of hits directly with me again is that SoundCloud is having some difficulties. I guess they're trying to dodge the difficulties is more the way to say it, because they laid off a bunch of employees today. They're trying to cut their costs. They've apparently in the past, they've been looking to sell. And, you know, when you think of SoundCloud, I don't necessarily think of SoundCloud as a place to go for music. I've never really thought of it as such. I always thought of it as a place where, or, I mean, I don't see it as you would see Amazon Music or Spotify or Apple Music, you know. You never see it as that kind of place. I always saw it as up-and-comers who are creating music that would have a place to store it and to promote it. Kind of like the old CD Baby days. If you're ever in a band, you know what CD Baby is. It was a service that you would send a bunch of CDs to, and then they would take care of shipping them out to people as you sold them. Pretty interesting service. I don't even know what they're doing these days, if they're even around. But I always thought that's kind of how SoundCloud was. It was the new way to get your music out. And I think it is. I think that's kind of what it sounds like, is that they want to stay. At one point, they were looking to sell to multiple different people. Even Spotify was interested. But I think they wanted to stay. Well, I mean, I think they actually wanted to sell. It sounds like they wanted to sell and take their millions and kind of let Spotify or Google or somebody just deal with SoundCloud. But it sounds like the CEO and they want to, they're, I don't know if I buy it, but they're making up this, or they're saying that they want to stay independent and they want to be true to their creators and their users. And I guess that's good news for me. I mean, I host this podcast on SoundCloud, so it definitely affects me in some way, depending on which way they go, if they want to sell it off, or if they decide to stay independent. I mean, I would hope that if they decide to sell it off, that they remain at least somewhat the same. You know, there's companies that have been sold off that the technology that they were creating is just acquired. And that actually happens, I think, more often than not. But then there are some where if they are acquired by a larger company, that they still keep their operations running as they are. They keep the entire staff on, and then they just continue that product. They just, you know, they own it now. And one example of that is Nest. You had one of the creators of the iPod who left Apple and created this company that made a really cool product. And Google came in and bought them. And now they own Nest, but Nest still operates as Nest. They are just owned by Google. So who knows if that would happen. I hope that if SoundCloud does get sold, or depending on what they decide to do, if they get sold, I want them to stay how they are, because they make it really easy for content creators to share with a broader audience. And it said in the report that they had doubled their revenue in the last 12 months. But I mean, I don't know. I'm not a businessman, so I don't know how that works. But it seems like they're just trying to compete with the competition out there. So good on them. Hopefully, unfortunately, they had to let some people go. But, you know, good on them for trying to stay independent and trying to keep their doors open. All right, moving on to a company that I actually really like. I did at first, but then I wasn't exactly sure what their end goal was. But now that we've seen, you know, over the last few years, and especially over the last year or so, what they've been able to do is SpaceX. And their expeditions that they've been doing to the International Space Station and all the different missions that they've done to deliver satellites into space and those kind of things. And they did another launch this week, and it wasn't anything special, but I wanted to bring it up because it just impresses me every time. Every time I see their, because if those of you who don't know, they've been returning their Stage 1 rocket. That's the main rocket that boosts the payload out of the atmosphere. And they've been returning that Stage 1 rocket back to Earth as if we're in the freaking future, where they drop, you know, these little fins come out and stabilize it, and then it uses propulsion to get it into place and bring it back down. They do a burn to bring it back down through the atmosphere, and they land it either back at the Space Center or they land it on a barge out in the middle of the ocean. The freaking barge. That one was impressive. I remember watching the very first one they tried to do on the barge, and it fell over and kaboom, it was gone. Like, blue, big explosion, gone. And then that very first one that they did and landed on the barge, and all the, it was like Apollo 13, you know, where they're sitting there, the guys are coming back through the atmosphere and they're waiting. They're like, this is the blackout period, and if we don't hear from them after 3 minutes, we'll know that they're dead. That's how it was with this. You know, all the cameras were kind of glitching because it's out in the middle of the ocean and you have a rocket coming down at you. And all of a sudden the glitches went away, and there it was. It was sitting there safe and sound on the barge. I mean, that was the turning point. That's like, look, this is going to make everything that they do much cheaper, as Elon Musk has been saying. It'll make all these missions much cheaper to those who want to either release satellites into space, or if they want to visit the space station, bring crew and cargo to the space station. It'll make it a lot cheaper for us to do that. And that benefits us, you and me, because all the NASA missions, I mean, they're funded by our tax dollars. So it makes it cheaper for us to actually get astronauts up there, which is awesome. Every time I see one of those things live, it's just the coolest thing in the world. And I've been following them for a long time. I remember watching the footage they would release of these test rockets that they'd send like 600 meters in the air and then land it back down. And they'd send it 1,000 meters in the air, then land it back down. And I remember seeing that footage and going, okay, is this like a CGI thing? Like, they just put a lot of money into CGI to see, you know, to demonstrate what they're going to do. But no, it's like all real. It's like drone shot and everything. And I hope they keep doing this. And I can't wait till they have their Dragon 2 capsule. So the Dragon 1 capsule that they've been doing right now, that they've been setting up right now, is just for cargo. Like, you can't put a person in there. I don't think it's atmosphere inside it will sustain human life. So it's just for cargo. So they have this Dragon 2, and I think it was probably a year, maybe longer ago, where they had, it's definitely been more than a year, where they debuted it, and Elon Musk showed the inside of it, and it's like a freaking 21st century, finally a 21st century spacecraft. And it's awesome. It carries 7 people. It's got all touch, like massive iPads and stuff inside, similar to like the Tesla Roadsters, the Tesla Model S, and all the Tesla cars that have the little iPad type thing in the middle for the center console. It's that kind of thing, except across the whole front of the ship. It's pretty cool. Now, it's still a little pod-like form, similar to the Apollo capsules that would come back. It's still that same kind of thing. I'm really interested to see what people will come up with in the future as far as space shuttle style spacecraft. I think it'd be really cool to get back into that. Anyways, I thought it was awesome to bring up what they're doing, because it seems like they have a launch every week. Every week. And they just keep doing amazing things. Earlier today, I was going through my Instagram feed, and then I also went through my Twitter feed, and I saw that Marquez Brownlee, aka MKBHD, if those of you who don't know, check out his YouTube channel, because it's really cool. He posted a story about a new phone type device from Red Cinema. And if you don't know what Red Cinema is, they are a camera company that makes just these bad A cameras. They're like modular cameras where you have the guts, like the base, and then you can add all these different peripherals to it, and it shoots like up to 8K. And they use it on, they've been using it for years in actual cinematic films. But the one that was most notably, at least for me, was the Hobbit films. They shot them all in Red cameras in like true 3D. They used two cameras representing your two eyeballs. Anyways, they're a really big camera company, and everybody seems to be gravitating towards those. I know Marquez uses them. I know that the Linus Tech Tips just went to them. Devin Supertramp, who's a native Utahn, he uses them as well. If you've seen some of the stuff that he does, they're so expensive, though. You know, $70,000 or something to get a full package. But they just came out. So Marquez tweeted a link for a phone of theirs. And it's called the Hydrogen. And I'll read you a little bit from their blurb. They said, the world's first holographic media machine. In your pocket, no glasses needed. With one fell swoop, the future of personal communication, information gathering, holographic multi-view, 2D, 3D, AR, VR, MR, and image capture just changed forever. I have to say that when Marquez tweeted this, and a few other people tweeted this as well, I thought it was a joke. And then I remembered that it's not April, it's July. So maybe they had their months off. I don't know. But I thought it was a joke. But it actually says, the Hydrogen 1 is a standalone, full-featured, unlocked multi-band smartphone operating on Android OS that just happens to add a few additional features that shatter the mold of conventional thinking. That's what they said. That's what they said in their blurb. If this is everything it says it is, then this is going to be an incredible device. See, $1,200 for an aluminum and $1,600 for a titanium version. And it looks like it's shipping Q1 of 2018. So if you've got, you know, $1,600 lying around and you don't want to, you know, buy a nice laptop, or you already have a nice laptop, then by all means, get the Hydrogen 1 from Red. Man, everybody's coming out with a smartphone these days. Pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be very, very cool to see what they've come up with. So one last story on this Friday, then I'll let you guys enjoy your weekend. iFixit came out something that, a new product that I may have to look at, because as one of my first tweets on this, on the High Tech on Life account, I had shown that my MacBook Pro with Retina display had some issues with the battery. You know, when they first came out with those Retina display MacBook Pros, they were the ones with solid state everything. The only moving part was the fans. That was it. And up until that point, every Mac that I had, you were able to open up and you were able to service it. Now, with this one, I think it was like the mid-2012, and it had these pentalobal screws that iFixit had to like create. They had to create a new tool to get the back of this thing open. And I remember thinking, okay, how long will this actually last me? How long will the battery actually last me? And I figured it'd probably last me about 6 to 7 years. And by that point, I'd probably be up for getting a new laptop. But currently, the battery is not doing so well. I have a service battery alert. It's not as bad as my old laptop. My old MacBook Pro, it got to the point where I couldn't even, you know, it'd get to like 35% and then it would shut down on me. At least this one will still dissipate its battery until it's almost dead, like at 6 or 7%, and then it'll go into reserve mode. So it's basically acting normal. But anyways, iFixit came out with this new thing that'll fix my problem. See, so my MacBook Pro was rated at like 1,000 cycles on the battery. And at the moment, I'm at 777 cycles. And it says service the battery. Lovely. So I need to figure that out. I'll probably have to deal with that soon. Anyways, they came out with this new servicing kit. And like step-by-step instructions. So they cover everything from 13-inch MacBook Pro 2012 and early 2013 all the way up until the early and mid 2015 15-inch MacBook Pros. You can go to iFixit.com to see all the information about it. Let's see, it costs $90. That's how much a battery used to cost. So that's awesome. And you can get in there. It gives you all the tools and everything you need to pry out the old battery and put in the new one. That's cool. I wish they would have come out with this a while ago. They also say it'll extend its life for 2 to 3 years. Cool. Oh, wow. Yay. Good job, iFixit. I am happy you exist. Well, thank you everybody for tuning in today to High Tech on Life. Good, kind of relaxed day, just a few news stories and thoughts on the day. Hope you guys have a good weekend. If you like this episode, if you like any of the past episodes, be sure to thumb up it or thumb down it if you don't like it. Subscribe, like, share, all that fun stuff. I want to hear from you guys as well, so please comment. Let me know your thoughts on different products. If there's any products you want me to review or to look at or get my opinion on, please shoot me either an email to ryan@hitechonlife.com, hitechonlife.com, or you can hit me up on any of the social media sites. All of those are at High Tech on Life, so Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, we're there. We're up on WordPress. We've got a WordPress kind of site to keep track of a lot of our list of all of these podcasts, always with the newest one at the top, and any links that I mention throughout this podcast will be found there. hitechonlife.com, hitechonlife.com. Again, if you like it, subscribe, share, like, and do all that on the podcast player of your choice. There's many out there. You can find us pretty much anywhere. Well, again, thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you in the next one.